Well, just want to welcome you guys. It's so awesome to see you guys. I mean, people I see all the time, friends I haven't seen in a while, who were part of the reason I stayed at Calvary Chapel El Monte. It's good to see Els. He's here, Big Eldazar. I believe he served in the armed forces also. Rick's here, guy I love and admire also. You guys can't really fathom how much this means to me. It's way above my pay grade, way above. I'm just in awe of the fact that I'm even here. But the Lord has been good. He's always faithful. Amen. You guys enjoying yourselves? Yeah. Just one little bit of advice. If you're going to play basketball, there's a little group of piranhas running around called 15-year-olds, and they are merciless. I am in pain right now. Okay, so be careful. Be careful, guys. The Lord's been good. You guys enjoyed your meal? Yeah? I just pray that what I say this evening will set a foundation, set off something in your heart that would bring about change. Change for good. Change for your families. Change for the people at your work. Change for your friends. That would start through you. That the Lord would use you just to ignite the world around you. And really, I just pray that. I really do. I wanted to also say, it's not just about the study, guys. In your free time, please feel free, if you have anything on your heart, anything on your mind, to approach any of the pastors, to approach any of the older brothers, and just seek advice, seek prayer, seek godly advice. Really. I mean, I hate for anyone to go down the hill without having shared what's on his heart. I would hate that. Amen. And just know that the Lord has you here for a purpose. Not one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, is here by a coincidence, not by any stretch of the imagination. You're here because the Lord wants you here. He wants to talk to you. You know, I was talking to Tony and Frankie, and they're the real deal. They served. I mean, they were in combat. And it brought memories of my father and the kind of man he was. And these are the kind of men that really understand what the battle cry is, what a battle cry does. If you talk to them, they'll never tell you they're heroes. They'll just tell you they did what they were supposed to do. And I think that's what we all should do as warriors, as servants, because a true warrior is actually a servant. Amen? So today's study starts in the book of Judges, chapter 6, and the rest of the weekend will be based on Judges and basically the study of Gideon. Just to set you guys on a firm foundation and give you some background, the book of Judges, it covers a time period of about 350 to 400 years. Those who know can't get it really straight because some of the judges overlapped. So a sequential order of addition was not possible, but they say anywhere from 350 to 300 years. They were brought about, actually, because of the disobedience of the Jewish people. The Jewish people had been freed from Egypt, from bondage, which is a fancy word for being slaves. They were freed by the hand of God through the leadership of Moses, going through on their trek through the desert for 40 years. Moses passes away, and finally, they're led into the promised land by Joshua, okay? And through obedience of God's principles and God's laws, and wanting to be holy as God was holy, they started to take possession of that which the Lord had served up to them. Problem being is, there was a lack of good leadership after Joshua died. So the Jewish people went into a downward spiral, okay? It was a time of ups and downs. Through lack of leadership, they became idolaters. They became the people they were supposed to displace. They were supposed to come in and set things straight and set up worship to the true and living God. But instead, they became idolatrous. They became adulterous, spiritually speaking. They started serving the Baals, okay, and the Ashtaroth. The Baal was a god of the storm and rain, the god of fertility. So they believed he controlled the weather, and the harvest was, they were supposed to be thankful to him. The Ashtaroth was the goddess of fertility. They started worshiping her. So they went off track. They went off track, and in consequence of that, they became slaves of the people they were supposed to displace. Okay? They started serving false gods. And let me read what it says in chapter 5, just a little bit. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you," check this out, "I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." So the Lord actually met them where they were at. They were in sin, and still the Lord sends a prophet to talk to them. Okay? It's amazing. We can be here at this retreat, apparently being real spiritual, but we might be in a bad place. But don't succumb to that feeling. Reach out to the Lord wherever you're at, and he'll listen. He'll hear you. Okay? These people, well, what happened in the book of Judges was this. The Lord heard their cry. He would lift up a judge who wasn't a person who presided over them, who actually sat in court before them. He was either a military leader or a spiritual leader who would help lift up the country again, the nation of Israel, through the hand of God. Problem being is that as soon as that judge died, people went back downhill. Okay, and we come to the story of Gideon, and I believe he was the sixth judge. Okay, between the time that they had left Egypt, they had gone through the desert, had reigned for a while through Joshua, with a period of 200, 250 years to this sixth judge. And it's an amazing thing what disobedience does. So a call, a battle cry, is not necessarily a cry of charge. It's a cry to obey. A simple cry to obey. It's a calling. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How many of you guys are going through a hard time right now? You say, "I'm going through a hard season, Mark. I'm going through a period in which, man, it seems like God's not even obeying, not even listening to me. He's not even there for me." He is. He is. It might be your fault. It might be oppression of the enemy. It might be several things. But make sure, use discernment. Make sure it's not you. Make sure it's not you. But if you're going through it and you're feeling like you're being smacked, you might be. Right? If we go to the book of Proverbs and we see Proverbs 3:11-12, it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. From whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Okay? Perhaps you're going through it just because the devil's oppressing you. But perhaps you're going through it because you need to be disciplined. And that's what chastening means. The Lord chastens the one in whom he delights. Do you delight in your boys? Do you delight in your young daughters? Do you discipline them? Do you chasten them? To chasten them literally means, do you smack them in the butt? Where are you guys at? Israel right now in this moment was being chastened. That'll take me to verse 11, which is where the study actually starts, guys. We're going to read verses 11 through 13. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite." Okay, it's chapter 6, verse 11. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.'" Truth be known, they had been delivered into the hand of the Midianites. They had been evil in the sight of the Lord. So they were given over to these people. They were succumbed to these people. They would go out in their fields, and they would plant. And before it was even time to harvest, these marauders, these raiders known as the Midianites, would come in hordes like locusts and just reap all the fruit they should have reaped, to the point that they were having starvation. They were going through hard times. Do you feel like the Lord has allowed you to fall in these hard times? Do you feel like the enemy is stealing what should be rightfully yours? Your peace, your family, your peace of mind, your heart for the Lord? Examine yourselves, guys. Examine yourselves. Do we need to shape up? Do we need to stop and think, man, you know what? I've been blaming the whole world for what could possibly be my fault. Am I following the ways of the world, or am I actually seeking the Lord? Am I being obedient to his calling, or am I falling by the wayside? "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." In 1939, my dad was 8 years old. It was a pre-war era, pre-World War II era. And he used to tell me stories about how at night they had to live in blackout for fear of air raids from the enemy, literally. He used to tell me that they had to cover their windows and their doors with cardboard or any non-reflective material so that when enemy aircraft flew over, they wouldn't be able to see where civilization was, where the communities were, so they wouldn't be able to bomb. My dad said he lived in that time, and he was only 8 or 9 years old, but he remembers living in fear, living in the dark, in blackout. They would just peacefully eat and go to sleep, hoping not to be bombed, and be thankful the next day when they woke up. It's a real thing that really happened. They actually had air raid sirens. They had searchlights. I remember to the day when I was about 10 or 11, I was probably 19, 1969, 1970. I used to see those searchlights, and they used to put them on just every Friday or one Friday of the month. I think it was just a reminder because we weren't in danger of air raids, but it was a reminder. And my dad said he never wanted to live in that kind of fear again. He never wanted to live in that kind of fear again. And that's what these Israelites are going through. They're so afraid of having these marauders, these raiders come down, that Gideon, the son of Joash, is actually threshing wheat in a wine press. You guys know what a wine press is? It's basically a pit in the ground with brick or cement. I don't know what kind of a rock they used. And they'd smash wine. They'd smash grapes for making into wine. It wasn't meant for being used as a place to thresh wheat. Threshing wheat is a process of where they cut stalks of wheat with the heads on them. They put them on the ground. They beat them with some sort of instrument or a stick. And then they use a winnowing fork to throw it into the air so the chaff would blow away and only the grain would fall. They weren't able to do that freely. Could you imagine trying to thresh wheat in a pit? Where's the wind coming from? Where's the help coming from? Instead, they had to hide. In my eyes, they were living in blackout. They were living in a time of fear. And that's what happens to us when we stray from the Lord. We stray from the Lord. And it always seems like we're in imminent danger. Like something's going to happen. Like I'm going to take a wrong step. Like things aren't going to work out. And why is that? Because we're not walking in obedience. We're not walking out in the public. They needed to thresh the wheat out in the open area on a platform to have the grain separated. You guys understanding that? But instead, they were in pits trying to do this work. Imagine your lives without the freedom of the Lord. You live an obscure, fearful life of taking that next step. That's not the kind of warrior the Lord wants. That's not the battle cry. We can't be ashamed of who we are in Christ. We don't walk in pride, but we walk with our heads lifted because we have a Savior that's done a great thing for us. Okay? These people, these Israelites, forgot because they took the wrong direction. They started serving the things of the world instead of the living God, and they became enslaved. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Could you imagine that? This man Gideon's in a pit threshing wheat, and from under a tree an angel says, "You're a mighty man of valor." He probably took a look around and said, "What you talking about, Willis? You know, me?" It's an amazing thing that we don't even know when the Lord's talking to us because we're obscured by the blindness of our sin. He's talking to many of us. He's telling us, you know what? Stand up. Be counted. Be the leader in your family. Be the priest in your family. Be the representative in your family. But we're stuck in a rut. And what's a rut? A rut is nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out. You're just walking in a hole. Okay? But like I said, the Lord, He will hear you. Cry out to Him if you feel that way. If you have anxiety, if you have fear, if you feel like you're under someone's thumb all the time, cry out to Him. He'll hear you. In Judges 6:6, the people were stuck in sin, and they cried out, and the Lord heard. And He sent an angel who said, "This is where you're off. I told you not to serve foreign gods, and that's what you've done. I told you to be loyal, and you've been disloyal. I've given you everything, and you gave it up for that which is counterfeit. Okay, but we need to cry out to the Lord. In 6:6, they cried out, and the Lord heard them. In Psalm 34, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Amen? That's a psalm written by David. And it doesn't matter where you're at. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. There might be a pastor here. Okay? There might be a pastor here who's feeling this way. You're not alone. That brought a hush, right? Because the pastor is supposed to be our leaders, our instructors, our example. Pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for yourselves, guys. Verse 13, it says, Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this all happened to us? And where are all the miracles? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon was quite aware of the fact that things weren't like in the good old days. He wasn't seeing the miracles. He wasn't seeing the freedom. He wasn't seeing the liberation. Sure, he had heard all these things. But perhaps to him, they were just legends and traditions by now. Are you guys living your lives after legends and traditions? Or off a legacy of faith? You guys know the difference? In legends and traditions, we've been told. We've been told. We've heard. But we haven't seen. We have to make faith our own. We have to appropriate it. You know what that means? To make it ours. We have to believe. We have to know that the God of Israel, the God of the Nazarene, is the same God today and forever. He is real. We have to make the faith ours. I mean, that beautiful cake in that crystal case isn't yours until you grab it and you taste it and you believe it. We have to believe. We need to believe. We've seen the evidence. But don't be satisfied with living a life of legends and traditions. You got to live a life of faith, a legacy of faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Once again, but without faith, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Must believe that he is. Pretty straightforward for saying, you heard of God? Well, know that he is God. Your problem in his hands is but a small thing. But do we believe that he can change us? Our circumstances, our hearts? Oh, you know what? But I used to go to that church, but man, that pastor's wife, she committed adultery with the pastor's best friend. I've lived through that. It's a hard thing. But where are your eyes? Are they on Christ or on your pastor? Keep your eyes on Christ. If anything, I can tell you tonight, that would stay in your heart is this: keep your eyes on Christ. The world is cruel. People are false. People fail. The Lord does not. Keep your eyes on Christ. Believe that he is, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. So Gideon felt forsaken. He felt like there weren't any miracles. There weren't any prodigies. There weren't any spectacular goings on. Well, he was right, because the Lord had given them over to the Midianites because they were evil, and for 7 years they were suffering. But the Lord is gracious, the Lord is merciful, and he still hears our prayer. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Verse 14 says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? What might could this man possibly have had? Was the angel being sarcastic? Was he mocking him? No, you see, the angel wasn't seeing the man in the rearview mirror. He wasn't seeing the man in front of him. He was seeing the man that he was going to become, that the Lord was going to make him. The Lord speaks forward. He tells you what you can do. How many of us feel up to a task? We don't feel up to the task, truth be known. Neither did Gideon, right? So what possible strength could he have had? Humility. He knew he couldn't do it. You're talking to me, Lord? A mighty man of valor? I'm going to win back Israel for you? How is that? He knew he couldn't do it. A lesser man could have said, you know what? I can do anything. No, that's not the attitude. We should say, I can be the Lord's instrument. Here I am. Send me. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Here I am. Send me. That's all. That's all he wants. So what God is doing, he's looking for those who are willing. Okay, we've all heard this, and perhaps you've heard Pastor Manny say it, right? He doesn't call the qualified. He does what? He qualifies the called. And Gideon is being called. You guys are all being called. I'm being called. This is not for you to come out of here all charged up. This is for you to grasp reality and know who God is, what he can do with you. He spoke us into existence. He spoke the world into existence. His mere word. And he spoke and it was done. We need to start believing. We need to start believing. So Gideon knew where he stood. He knew the nation was messed up. He knew he was messed up, but he knew. I'm not the answer, Lord, right? I'm not the answer. And the Lord said, you're going to be the answer. So we need to have that humbleness. We need to understand that without God's help, we are nothing. So he was broken before the Lord. How many of you have felt broken before the Lord? Yet there's that anger, right? Why me, Lord? That's not brokenness. Blaming God, that's not brokenness. Brokenness is when you come to your wits and you come before the Lord with your face on the ground, you said, Lord, man, if there's anything you can do through me, Lord, please do it. Because my way is the highway. I can't handle this. I can't do this. So Gideon knew where he stood, and that was his strength. Okay? The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. That's the might he's talking about. And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Who was sending him? When your boss sends you to talk to a subordinate, is it in your strength that you go? Who delegates the authority? The Lord. He's delegating the authority. Right? If for some reason I had the privilege of representing the city of El Monte, let's say I'm a chaplain, okay? And they say, Chaplain Mark, we need to you to represent us in the county of L.A. and speak for the city of El Monte. I'm going with the authority that they gave me. I didn't pull up my britches and say I could do it. No, they're empowering me to do it. The Lord will prepare me to do it. And that's the way we got to look at things. We need to be humble. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Psalm 147:6 says, the Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. He has his timing. When he's ready, he will use you. All of us. All of us. My two friends here and Eleazar, they were soldiers. They didn't have time to have a high esteem of themselves because they were just there to follow orders. That's what we're here for. That's what Gideon was there for, just to follow orders. Okay? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, speaking to Paul, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in what? Do we agree that we're weak before the Lord? Let him strengthen you. Be strong in the things of the Lord, but understand that it's him. Amen? So he said, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He understands. He's telling the Lord, I'm from Manasseh. I'm from the weakest family, from the weakest tribe in Manasseh. I'm from the weakest home family in Manasseh, in the tribe of Manasseh. And I'm the run of the litter. I'm the smallest one. I'm the weakest one. You know what the runt of the litter is? You guys ever selected a dog? You go to pick up a puppy. My dad said, always pick him up by the scruff. If he yelps, you don't want him. Well, Gideon was the one that yelped, guys. He was the smallest, the most insignificant. Are we insignificant before the Lord? Yes. It's not by our power. Just come before him and be used by him. That's what it means. Think about it. Isn't that the Lord's specialty? Think of Moses. Who is he? A stutterer. I was a heavy stutterer. I couldn't even say stutterer. I would cry before I spoke before a crowd, guys. But it's the Lord that needs to do the work. Think about Joseph, the youngest of his family. Think about David, a sheep herder, a boy sheep herder at that, right? Think about Peter, an impetuous loudmouth, always getting himself in trouble. Think about Paul, guys, a raving assassin, yet the Lord used him. I think he can use us. I think he can use us. 1 Corinthians, this is, I think, Pastor Henry's most precious verse. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29, it says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Okay? And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Gideon was going to be used. Gideon was going to be used because he was base. He was low. He was cowering inside a wine press in the same manner that my dad cowered inside a dark house afraid of being bombed. But you know what the name Gideon means? It means feller. You know how Pastor Henry calls us fellas? I'm not trying to say we're fellers from Alabama or Georgia. A feller is a guy that fells trees. Okay, his name means feller, or it means hewer. You know what God does who hews? He cuts stone. That's a hewer. So imagine what his name was. Was it an accident the Lord was going to use him triumphantly? He was a feller of trees. He was a lumberjack. He carved stone. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one.'" When you go out to a fight, who's got your back? Right? Who's got your back? I want these two soldiers and this other soldier be on my side. Okay? He had the Lord, the maker of all that is seen and unseen, saying, "I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you." He was lifting him up. He was preparing him. He's saying, "You're going to do the battle, but I'm going to be with you." Sounds to me like he had pretty good backup. The creator of all that is seen and unseen. Sounds like it's pretty good support system to me. First John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," speaking of the world, "because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Romans 8:31 says, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Are you preparing your hearts, guys? Are you getting ready? I just want you guys to know, when you hear the Lord speaking to you, it's not going to be offensive to him if you question him. Is that you, Lord? You need to question. You need to be sure. Seek confirmation. Lord, is what that guy's saying up there tonight the truth? Check your Bible. If not, you can stone me now. No, wait a little while. Wait until I'm done. Okay, guys? Seek confirmation. Verses 17 through 21, it says, "Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight,'" okay? "'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is you, that it is you.'" Check that out, okay? Check that out, okay? "Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor,'" this is Gideon speaking to the angel. "Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you,'" capital Y-O-U, "'who talk with me. Do not depart from me from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.' So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour," that just means a measure of flour, "the meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him," again with the capital H, guys, "under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth,' and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat, and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight." I love this passage. This portion of the passage is awesome. he is seeking confirmation of who this angel was. It went from being, in other versions of the Bible, it says an angel of the Lord. Here it went from being an to the angel of the Lord. Okay? The angel of the Lord signifies to us that it's a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus Christ himself, the second man, the second part of the Trinity. You guys understand that? It's what they call a Christophany. In my heart, I had been studied of these things for a long time, Christophanies and the appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament, and I wasn't sure that I believed it. I wasn't sure that I believed it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus was able to appear as an angel to this man? Dead giveaway. It says, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you. Who? You with a capital Y. That it is you who talk with me. Up until here, I believe that Gideon thought he was just talking to an angel of the Lord, a servant of the Lord. When I see this, he wants to verify in his heart, is it you who talks with me? Who do you think he's referring to? You, Christ, God, Jesus. Is it you who's talking to me? And then as we read, he decides to seek confirmation. So he says, I'm going to bring him a sacrifice. I'm going to set a meal before him. And what happens? He brings the meal. He touches it with the end of the staff, and it's consumed. Okay? Just a little small confirmation miracle for Gideon. But you know what it makes me think of? You guys remember the story of Emmaus? Or how do we say it in English? Emmaus? It's a story of two disciples in chapter, I believe, 24 of Luke that are walking along a pathway towards a city called or a town called Emmaus. And up from behind walks up Jesus Christ himself. He comes up to them. He says, hey, guys, what are you guys talking about? And they look at him and says, dude, are you the only civilian here that hasn't heard what's going on? That Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and he died? And now people are searching for him because he's not in his tomb? He said he would resurrect, but we don't know. Even some of our women have told us that they went to the tomb and it's empty. So they keep talking and Jesus says, you fools. So slow to believe. So he starts talking to them from Genesis through the prophets to the time of his death. And as they're talking, he's going to kind of take off, keep going his own direction. And they say, wait, stay with us. This is almost a parallel to my heart, a parallel passage to that. Gideon says, stay with me. I want to have a meal with you. When did they realize who they were talking to? When Jesus broke bread, what happened? Their eyes were open and he disappeared. What happened here? The angel left. A Christophany. A personal visit from God himself to the man Gideon. Now, is that going to happen with us? I dare say no. It's not. But we've been given the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us every day. We've been given his word. In Romans 8:16, which is one of my favorite passages in all the world, it says that the Spirit of God gives testimony to our spirit that what we are what? Sons of God. Seek him. He will talk to you. He won't appear to you in glowing splendor. If he does, man, take a selfie. But it's not going to happen, okay, guys? It's not going to happen. Just believe his word. Believe his spirit. Gideon is beginning to believe, okay? I love that passage. And he departed from his sight. Verse 22, it says, then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Okay? Why do you say that? Because in verse 22 it says, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. What did he perceive? He was the angel of the Lord, speaking of the Christophany, speaking of an appearance of God himself. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. What did we learn from Exodus chapter 33? Where Moses is visiting with God on Mount Sinai. Moses says, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see you in person. And the Lord said, I'm sorry, brother. You can't see me, but I'll do you a favor. As I go by, I'll let you see my back parts as I leave. And you can feel my splendor that way. Gideon was quite aware of that passage. Okay? He thought, I just saw God. Did that confirm in your heart that this is God appearing to him in the form of Christ as an angel? Because he was afraid he's going to die. That's how personal God is, guys, and that's how personally he's speaking to you this evening. He's speaking to you, the God of the universe, through some bumpkin knucklehead up on by the altar over there. But he's speaking to you. Take it to heart. That's what the battle cry is. Get up. I'm talking to you, guys. That's what he's saying. Be a man of action. I'll be with you. I'm your support system. I got your back. A lot of people talk about epiphanies and this personal experience with God. That can happen anytime. Angel doesn't need to be singing. I don't need to be preaching. You can be walking down the stairs and the Lord will talk to you. Just have a keen ear and listen. Seek him. Be ready to be used. And this is awesome what the Lord does for him. Personal visit. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So not only does he not confirm the fact that he might die, he says, I'm giving you peace. That's the kind of peace we should have when we go out into the world as warriors, as soldiers, with a battle cry. Okay? Understand that the Lord is with you. He gives you peace. Amen. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Build an altar. Okay, guys, this is what you need to do. Okay, build an altar as Gideon did, but not from felled trees or hewed rocks. Like the way I worked that in, right? He was a feller of trees. He was a hewer of rocks. What I'm saying is, don't make an earthen altar. Build an altar in your heart where he'll receive the honor. Well, where he will reside, where he will live. That's the kind of altar we need to lift up to the Lord. No false promises. Just allow him to be in your hearts, guys. Not an earthen altar, not of felled trees or hewed materials, but an altar in your heart where his presence will reside and you will walk before him in what? In awe. In adoration and worship. Do you guys walk before the Lord in awe? You think it's a simple thing, a lighthearted thing? That right now God is speaking to Alex, even though he's the furthest guy in the back? That he's speaking to Jaime? That he's speaking to Julio? He's speaking to you guys. Are you listening? Are you lifting up altars of worship in your heart? Okay? He's not going to be impressed by the Crystal Cathedral, you believe me. He is not. The Jewish temple does not impress him any longer. When it was done from the heart. No longer. Okay? The Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. Yahweh Shalom, right? The Lord is peace. That's the kind of peace we're going to receive. In verse 25, he says, "Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down.' So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it at night." So he was kind of a wuss to that point, right? He didn't want to do it in the day, but the fact is that he did it. The Lord is calling him to obedience now. He's saying, take the step. So you guys are going to all go home, go to your grandma's house, and tear down all the St. Christopher's? Right? No. Start by loving your grandma. Start by showing her what Christ is really like. Breaking her Virgin Mary isn't going to convert her, guys. She's going to grab you by the ear and pull you outside. Take a switch to you. Love on her. Explain to her why those are false idols, right? They have feet but can't walk. They have ears but can't hear. They have hands but can't touch. They have mouths but can't speak. We believe in the Lord of all. Get to work. Be obedient. That is the battle cry. Amen? Let's pray, guys. Dear Father, we come before you, Father. I'm not truly inept, Father, but you are so wonderful, so powerful, Father. I pray that your hand would be upon these gentlemen here, Father, these people who desire, Father, to serve you, that they would be just amazed at the presence of your life in their hearts, Father. I pray, Father, that you build us up. Make us men of valor. Make us men that are able to carry out that battle cry, Father. We praise you, Father. We lift you up and we worship you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.